Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Whew. That was a great way to start this thing. Whew. Brilliant. Thank y'all. Wow, so wonderful to be here. It really is a divine honor to be with you all on this first Sunday after Reverend Jill's retirement. As I was preparing this week, it occurred to me that the last time I spoke here, which was the first time I spoke here, was the Sunday before Jill returned. So it's like kind of get to book in Jill's last leg, I guess, basically. So it really is a divine honor to be here in light of that, not least of which is also Palm Sunday. This is always one of my favorite Sundays to speak on. And I have to give it to the administration around here. They start asking you 2-3 weeks before you're going to be here what you're talking about so they can get the ball rolling, I guess. And so it got me thinking a lot earlier this time about the Palm Sunday presentation than in past Sundays when I'm just kind of going from week to week. And so I immediately hit upon this title, Hosanna, Hosanna, because that's what came to me. And we're going to unpack that metaphysically here in just a little bit to kind of see underneath about what that is and how that plays into this divine energy and activity, with this ongoing awakening that we're experiencing here into the Christ nature. Before we get to that metaphysical unpacking, I want to start off this morning. I've got a brief little section from a course. Any A Course in Miracles students in here? We've got some Course in Miracles folks. So if you're interested, this comes from chapter 20, The Vision of Holiness, and it's the very first section in chapter 20 called Holy Week. And of course, Palm Sunday is sort of what we commemorate as the official kickoff of Holy Week. So I'm going to read half of this section right now to start with, and then we're going to come back and read the other half at the end. So it starts off, this is Palm Sunday, the celebration of victory and the acceptance of the truth. Let us not spend this Holy Week brooding on the crucifixion of God's Son, but happily in the celebration of his release. For Easter is the sign of peace, not pain. A slain Christ has no meaning, but a risen Christ becomes the symbol of the Son of God's forgiveness on himself, the sign that he looks upon himself as healed and whole. This week begins with palms and ends with lilies, the white and holy sign the Son of God is innocent. Let no dark sign of crucifixion intervene between the journey and its purpose, between the acceptance of the truth and its expression. So it's like this whole section here is kind of inviting us in to perceive this as an ongoing dynamic enterprise. This is an ongoing activity in consciousness that is happening at all times, not just on Palm Sunday, not just during Holy Week. This is with us throughout the year, every day, day in and day out, whether we're attending to it or not. That's the variable, in and out, whether we're choosing to be with it, to be aware of it, to express from it, or whether we allow ourselves to slide in and out of that awareness from time to time. Anybody kind of sometimes want to forget about being spiritual for just a little while? And it's a tough road to walk when you walk it and you practice it on an ongoing basis because we're called to a higher degree of expression. And oftentimes we can back down from that. So as I've been going through this Palm Sunday preparation and thinking about these elements, it's like, I've got a real high degree of receptivity in my own consciousness right now about finally deciding upon some activities in my own life, some things that I still yet want to accomplish, and kind of like making today's Palm Sunday be a line in the sand. Officially, I'm cheating a little bit because my birthday is May 28th, and that's when I'm turning 65. So really, I'm kind of setting myself up for my 65th birthday to be that kind of starting gun. But it's already, the work on that has already begun in consciousness. The actual date of May 28th is kind of meaningless at this point in time because the work has already begun. And so it's taking me into a new expression personally into how I want to express myself in the world moving forward. Easter is not about the crucifixion, and I grew up, in sort of a Catholic orientation to a degree and a Baptist orientation to another degree. So I was really in a trick bag there. And so it was a negative thing. A Course in Miracles, among other things, was one of the ways that helped me to reframe that whole idea around the crucifixion to see it not as one of suffering and pain and something that we should feel individual and collective shame about in our history, but that it was necessary for the resurrection to occur. It had to be this way. We're going to unpack some of these things here with a couple of scriptural references here in just a moment. But if you'll recall, Palm Sunday is sort of the beginning of Holy Week, as we've already said, and it's officially sort of written about in the scriptures as being this entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We've all got that archetype image of Jesus coming in on the baby colt donkey, right, in humility, and people shouting the hosannas at him, laying the palm fronds down in front of him, paving his path. We're going to unpack that a little bit metaphysically here in a moment. But that's that activity that's going on. But Jesus' entry into Jerusalem didn't just spontaneously spring up on that Sunday. He had been around in the area. Like the rumors and the tales of what he had been accomplishing on the perimeters and the outskirts of Jerusalem around it, it had been spreading everywhere. Here's just a quick little name check of the week or so before Jesus entered Jerusalem. He ministered tirelessly in the days leading up to Palm Sunday. Among other righteous acts, our Lord healed the blind, cured 10 lepers, ate dinner with the tax collector named Zacchaeus, taught about the Good Shepherd, revealed to his disciples for the third time that he would soon be crucified. So this is in the week before the entry. He's already informed all of his disciples and followers and everything, or the close circle anyway, the 12, that he would be crucified. And of course, this had to be just unbelievable to them. You know, look at the crowds. You're popular. Everything is going along. But Jesus knew that popularity was going to soon run him at the crossroads of the power establishment at that point in time. Within a week, he's going to be crucified. Actually, within the full week, we'll have the resurrection as well. He'll be crucified on Friday, basically. And then by Easter, he's risen again. So within this one week, it's like if whether we look at this literally or metaphysically, if you just look at it as a tale that we tell ourselves and have been telling ourselves for a long time, this would have to be the most significant week in the history of time on a certain level. Viewed through a certain lens, this had to be the most significant historical week of all. Could you imagine if we had 24/7 media news and it was going down and we knew that it was going down? Like how much coverage it would get? You know, this is the most important week in the history of time. And it's an ongoing dynamic. That's what's implied by the Hosanna. One aspect of unpacking Hosanna metaphysically, I'm getting this from Charles's Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, some references that he makes about Hosanna. When we say the Hosanna, when we express Hosanna, and what was it underneath the expression of Hosanna to Jesus as he's entering, represents the joyful obedience and homage that all the thoughts in one's consciousness give when an error state of consciousness has been overcome. So that when we overcome error thinking on our part and things come back into alignment, and there's that, oh man, I really feel like I'm synchronized with flow right now. You're in that flow moment and everything. Everything is back in alignment. We are seeing things rightly in A Course in Miracles language. Our vision has been corrected. So when people are saying Hosanna to Jesus as he's coming in, it's their recognition that he is embodying the Christ. Right? It's their recognition. That is the way to correct my error thinking. That is the way to correct my consciousness. That is the way for me to see things differently, to see myself differently. And of course, all of this is setting the stage ultimately for forgiveness, because if anybody's the Course in Miracles students know that it all comes down to forgiveness. I think Don Henley even said it in a song one time. It does. It all comes down to forgiveness. Forgiveness of myself for my shortcomings. Forgiveness of others that I think may have harmed me or done me wrong or deprived me of something, whatever grievance that may take place. But it's even on another level that we ultimately have to forgive the Christ. And this is what Jesus is getting at, that we have to ultimately forgive the Christ, because without our forgiveness added to the mix, the resurrection, the ongoing resurrection, is incomplete. And we could have one holdout. There could be one of us in this room that was holding out. Everybody else was on board, and one person holding out would mean that the resurrection itself wasn't complete. And that person still needed our love. That person still needed our acceptance. We needed to be whole. I can recognize my own wholeness and work that out of my consciousness. But I'm moving around in a world where not everybody thinks that way. And I'm even at degrees of evolution and expression about that. But my intention, my vision carrying me forward, knows that it's incumbent upon me to accept the Christ in myself. And that's the hardest one to do, guys. I mean, it's easy sometimes for me to give other people grace and see the best in them despite their shortcomings. But when it comes to my own, when it really gets down to the lick log, as they say, you know, and you really got to make a decision, sometimes I back away from the decision, like just fully forgiving myself. And yet I'm still willing to work that out. So whatever that residual resistance is, that's what I'm saying to you all today. I'm going to do Palm Sunday and Holy Week different this year. I'm asking for that clarification for myself. What is the resistance about? What is it? If you have a resistance going on in your life, you'll know what that is. What is the resistance in your life that's keeping you from the next degree or the fullest expression of yourself, your divine self, as possible? What holds you back? Right? So remember that Hosanna is an ongoing activity. It's that recognition. A Course in Miracles says, it talks about the vision of Christ in A Course in Miracles at one point in time, seeing with the Christ vision. And what it gets down to is this. When I'm seeing the Christ in another person, when I become willing to see the Christ in another person, I'm doing that with my indwelling Christ. It's not Rick's personality that's doing that. I'm seeing the Christ in another person from my own Christ within. And that is the Christ vision. We might, more culturally speaking, be more familiar with namaste. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The divine in me sees the divine in you. It's that recognition. It's an ongoing dynamic. So Jerusalem metaphysically, Jesus entering into Jerusalem metaphysically, that is entering into that habitat of peace. That's how Charles metaphysically defines Jerusalem. It's the habitat of peace. So he's entering into the habitat of peace. And did I mention how crazy the circumstances were around him as he was entering into Jerusalem and his inner habitat of peace, and how crazy the streets were and how many forces were aligned against him? Could we have that state of mind if it were us to like enter into that space? It's a tough call, I gotta tell you, I think Jesus might have maybe wanted to think about getting a horse instead of a donkey so he could get away in case, you know, things got heated. But he didn't. He stayed the course. And he knew that staying the course was necessary even unto his crucifixion. Like just within days, he knew this is not going to go well this week on a certain level. But on another level, the crucifixion was necessary to establish the precedent for the resurrection. There can be no resurrection if there had been no crucifixion. That helped a lot in A Course in Miracles to reframe the discussion for me. Like to see that there is a divine order and that each piece had its place. And that we don't necessarily know how it's all going to work out. Sometimes we're making decisions with today's information as if that's the only information that's ever going to be true about this. It's not. It's ongoing. It's an ongoing dynamic. And we're involved in it. In fact, we're co-creating it. Our choices do matter. Our choices do matter. Fortunately, the more we get adept and connected to choosing from love, the energy level, the vibrations of that one choice of love in a true direction far outstrips the millions of choices that are down in fear. So it doesn't need to be everyone on the planet. It just needs to be enough of us, because the power of love is exponentially greater than the force of fear. Exponentially, geometrically. And so that's what is becoming incumbent upon us, too, that if we're resurrecting anything in this week, next week will be Easter, right? If we're resurrecting anything within us during this week, let's not just look at this as a story that happened some time ago and we celebrate and commemorate and not sure how I feel about every little detail of that thing and how people talk about it. I might be a little unsettled on some of those things. But metaphysically, what it represents is that resurrection. And that resurrection is available to us, each individually. And in fact, from Jesus' point of view, the resurrection is not complete until we're there too. I want to bring this thing to a close by reading this other passage from the rest of this passage from A Course in Miracles, and then we'll move into meditation. So where we had left off, I'm going to read the last sentence where we left off. Let no dark sign of crucifixion intervene between the journey and its purpose, between the acceptance of the truth and its expression. This week we celebrate life, not death, and we honor the perfect purity of the Son of God, and not his sins. Offer your brother the gift of lilies, not the crown of thorns, the gift of love, and not the gift of fear. You stand beside your brother, thorns in one hand and lilies in the other, uncertain which to give. Join now with me and throw away the thorns, offering the lilies to replace them. This Easter I would have the gift of your forgiveness offered by you to me and returned by me to you. We cannot be united in crucifixion and in death, nor can the resurrection be complete till your forgiveness rests on Christ along with mine. Now, for those that are students of A Course in Miracles, we know that we're to accept that narrator's voice is the voice of the Christ. So it's the voice of the Christ speaking this. So the Christ is asking for our forgiveness of him so that he can return it to us. Is there anything more fantastic than that? I mean, that's awesome. That's an awesome divine idea. And I don't know about y'all, but I've been thinking about this for a few days now, and I think I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of that idea. You know, I really, really, really do, because it's a profound. What it implies is profound and life-changing. And so wherever you are on your journey, I just encourage you this week to allow yourself to kind of view Holy Week a little differently. Be a little more conscious of it as you're moving through your week's activities. Not just something that we do on Sunday, on Palm Sunday, and then come back on Easter. But like, live it this week. Like, think about it. These events are going down in this area, you know, and there's a lot of opposition to that Christ idea, that idea of love. Love, it's not just an emotion, right? It's a creative power, and it's incumbent upon us to do our best to express our creative power to the best of our ability. Oftentimes, I find ability is usurped by willingness, because sometimes we are very, very able and yet unwilling. A ready will can outstrip talent sometimes, right? And so think about that as you move through the week. And I think we can just take a few minutes here and readjust, get into meditation, and take this idea of that indwelling Christ a little deeper. So I just ask you to, for the time being, forget everything I just said. Just park it. Just put it in neutral. Your mind may be brimming with ideas, your mind may be brimming with resistance. Whatever it is, just park it. Just take a few deep centering breaths and just feel yourself relaxing. Relaxing into this present moment. There is nothing to do in this moment, in this space. It is only incumbent upon us to just simply be. Be in the awareness of the power and the presence of the indwelling Christ right here, right now. Within me, within you, within everyone around you. That same one master teacher that even Jesus had, we too have. We have direct access to that Christ mind, that Christ wisdom, the Christ truth, and most importantly, the potential to express Christ love. And so as we prepare ourselves for a time in the silence, we connect with that Christ space, with that heart space, knowing the indwelling Christ is right here, right now. I am safe. I am open. And I am willing. In the silence. As we begin to gently draw our attention back into the sanctuary, we take an extra moment to stay connected with that Christ presence, to remind ourselves it's there, it's always available. It goes with me wherever I am. I know that wherever I am, God is, and all is in divine order. And so on this Easter, we celebrate that resurrected Christ within each one of us as we move into that space of a greater expression of our own divine capacities in the coming year. And so we pray all of this and more in the name and the nature of the indwelling Christ. So it is, so we allow it to be. Amen.
With me.